Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be that in an
hour. Coming in my band, shy shoes. Or it's Friday if you have tomorrow and Friday off. But, you know, just that's just if. That's hypothetical. That's what that is.
That makes hump day a whole nother thing.
Oh, it's the best day.
you will go over the hump, and now you're on one of those giant kid slides. So you're just
love that.
Yep.
My weekend will have a hump day. How about that? That's exciting.
Right.
Somewhere around Friday night.
Right. Well, I hope you make it over it.
Yes. Thank you. So, I was thinking about that schedule proposal again. NFL schedule proposal, the 18-game idea.
That thing that's never going to happen.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of how I feel about it.
It's see, that's part of what I was going to say. I just think like maybe 80% or more of all the reaction I saw on Twitter to this was negative.
Uh-huh.
It was almost sarcastic.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Yeah, right.
It was,
right.
Oh, yeah, good, nice idea.
Nice try, right.
But I still, I'm not sure if it'll happen. I still think there is some chance for it, though, because other things that have been thought of are not happening,
mm-hmm.
and they still want 18 games. Don't they usually get what they want?
I guess. Yeah, I guess they do. I shouldn't just say it's never going to happen. I don't think we're going to get it with the caveats we talked so much about on Friday about with like the each guy has to sit out games and all that. Like I just can't imagine we're going to get there. Like to me, my big takeaway on the whole thing is it's a part of negotiating a new CBA. And there's lots of stuff to be considered, and there's lots of money up for grabs, and there's drug policies, and there's all kinds of stuff that enters into that. And that was, to me, shots fired in the big picture of getting a new CBA done.
Okay. I like it for the strategy. I like how this would make coaches squirm, this idea. You know, you go into the season, and you know that for anybody on your team, maybe not kickers, but they'd figure out that, or even quarterbacks. But let's just say for all your players, you've got to figure out at some point how to give them two games off. And you might be right to assume that there will be injuries. So you don't want to necessarily sit guys right away. Maybe you could do that for like a couple of rookies.
Right. What did we find out on Friday? It was two players on the Bills, or was it just two skill position players?
Two skill position players played in 16 games last year, Zay Jones and Patrick DeMarco.
Right.
No one else did. Maybe last year if you had 18 games but players were only allowed to play in 16, Josh Allen is inactive week one. They did have three quarterbacks, didn't they? Or they traded McCarron.
No, McCarron was already gone by then. They only had the two.
Maybe they keep A.J. McCarron for 2 weeks and then,
maybe.
You know, get... But, you know, that doesn't make sense either because Allen's not going to... If he's not going to start, you wouldn't worry about that. Anyway, so I like the idea of the strategy element and... I think there is an argument that players. I think it's possible that players could, in a negotiation, accept this idea. Maybe feeling that the 18-game push is never going to go away, and this is a way for us to salvage our point, if it is their point, about player safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So Anyway, I had that thought, and then I was listening to a conversation about, it was a fantasy thing, of course, about the 49ers. And the 49ers, like a lot of teams, including the Bills, have a backfield that is not, it is not obvious how that's going to play out. The Bills have, we can make this about the Bills, we probably should. The 49ers, Jerick McKinnon, off a torn ACL, Tevin Coleman, signed from Atlanta, Matt Breida, who was their number one guy last year, I guess. Raheem Mostert is another one. Like, they have guys, and you don't know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. They signed McKinnon last offseason to kind of be that guy, right?
Yep.
And then the injury undid it. So you don't. I don't think you assume that he just ascends right back to that status, but maybe they're hoping that he will because they invested in him.
Right. So maybe they want to see what he is in training camp physically. And then, but you know, here's what made me think of the schedule. And here's what they could do. So you have Jerick McKinnon, and you have Tevin Coleman, the other guys. And if they don't get a trade for one of them, you know, it might be hard to get a trade for one of them if they wanted that. They think one guy, they think, you know, Coleman is really what they, where they want to be. And maybe they can trade McKinnon or something. Say that doesn't happen. And they decide to go into their season with their guys, just like the Bills might. Could you see them, could you see a team just alternating weeks? Like, would a team want to avoid, all right, I'm just going to give up on the 49ers and make this about the Bills. Would the Bills want to avoid
good plan.
McCoy, Gore, Yeldon, Singletary, four guys, even three of them, let alone four, being active on the same day? Would they think that is, they can't afford that?
No, I think you want to have three running backs. I think that you would usually go into a game with three because you just, some of that is special teams, but even irrespective of that, I think you're leaving yourself short. Like, that's a position that injuries could happen. I don't think three is too many. Four is where, that's why the Bills thing with Yeldon being added when he was added and then drafting Singletary, it was really curious because they now have four, to me, good ideas for game day.
Four options.
Yeah, right. And I don't want a third round pick to be not playing. So then what am I doing with these other three guys? Are they all here? Is one of them inactive? Do they take turns? Like, I don't know. I think you want three guys, though, on game day.
Taking turns is my particular question.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the Bills or the 49ers or certain other teams, and there are plenty of them. There are several teams.
Not within the game, but like week to week, in other words.
Right. Like, you don't know in fantasy if McKinnon and Coleman or McCoy and Yeldon or whoever, even Singletary or Gore, are going to cut into each other's, you know, game workload. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to play them if you feel like instead of 20 carries, you're going to get 10 because of the other people. Oh, we're just going to... I want to know if we have Sal today. Maybe I'll ask Sal this. I want to know, can the roster handle that? Can a game day roster handle that? You're saying yes. You're saying for a game day, three is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Not including the fullback. Not including anybody to play special teams. Right? None of those guys, except possibly the rookie, are playing special teams.
Right. That's right.
So you might need other starters to play special teams. You might need to what determines that? You know, it could be different things. It'd be different things in different situations. What determines how you decide which guys are active?
And really, if Singletary ends up being some sort of a contributor on special teams, whatever role that would be for him, and I don't know if that's in the cards for him or not, but let's just say hypothetically for this part of the point, he is that guy. Then maybe he never really takes a turn being inactive and the other three guys rotate. Because they don't have the catch-all of being, you know, of value on special teams. They're merely offensive players. And Singletary's there, so there's one running back. And then I'm going to dress two other guys, and someone's the odd man out. And would you want to carry that on your roster, but on game day have those three guys take turns? In other words, so you're not wasting their being active. You're guaranteeing they get their 2 weeks off, or you're going to get more than that if there's three guys rotating, right?
In that case.
And that's how you utilize them, and are you optimizing their freshness by doing that? Like, probably, but my sense is football's nowhere near that.
That would be the reason for doing it.
Yeah. My sense is football would just go, who's our best guy? Let's run him until the wheels fall off. Like, that's kind of, I think, how football does it.
Maybe, but can you tell who your best guy is? Maybe that by then you'll think you'll know.
Yeah, I mean, naturally,
it will be close sometimes. I wonder if running backs, I guess what I want to, where I want to end up is, I wonder if running backs would ever be like the way we talk about the lineup before a hockey game. Who's in?
Right, right.
Why is this player in and this player out? Matchup, rest, you know, whatever. Like, why is this player in and this player out?
They do. Football does do that. It's sometimes, you know, we don't pay it a lot of mind because it's usually depth guys, and it's not anything that really feels like it pertains. Like, it's not often the running back or a McCoy or Gore are both like legendary Hall of Fame type running backs. If one of them is sitting for a game, like, it's a news story if they're healthy. But lots of times they put in an extra lineman because of the way they feel they're going to need they need extra defensive tackles. Someone is nursing a hamstring, but he's healthy enough to go, but we're worried about him. That kind of stuff. Like, they massage the lineup like that pretty regularly. And I think if you see from time to time, it's receivers who you think, well, boy, I like that guy. I like him on the field. It's this guy. This guy's going in this week because we need an extra blocking tight end.
Or whatever. It's hot.
Right.
Jeremy Curley got cut, and they said, McDermott said, is because one reason was because it was hot.
Right. And we needed extra.
Wasn't it Curley?
Yeah, Curley. That was before the Charger game. He never even played, right? He was active for the opener last year and then was cut. And the explanation, it was like the Saturday before the home opener against the Chargers, and the explanation was, it was going to be hot, and we needed extra guys in the rotation on the line. Defensive line, I think. So, like, you do get that, but it's not, like, specific usually just to the position itself. In other words, I've got three of these, or four of these. I only want to use three of them, and let's take turns. Usually it's, okay, this guy's the least proven, he's fourth on the depth chart, therefore he is the guy that will be inactive, and these other guys are veterans and they're proven commodities and they're dressing, and those are our quote-unquote best guys.
Do you name the three running backs on the Bills according to Spotrac that are signed for next year?
Well, Singletary would have a rookie contract.
Right.
Did Yeldon sign a two-year contract?
Yes. Which,
okay, right.
Does that mean something?
And
that
then, I know McCoy is up. I feel like Gore only signed a one-year deal.
The third guy is Christian Wade.
Is that the rugby guy? That's the rugby tryout guy.
Is he a special case, or is there some special? Is there some cool reason why he signed for next year?
There is like a roster exemption, I think, for him. Like, he doesn't count right now on the 90.
Okay. McCoy, Gore, Sonoris Perry, number 32.
Right.
And Marcus Murphy are all signed, according to Spotrac, for this year only. It's so interesting, though. Like, I know running back has been diminished, and I'm fine with all that. The argument is completely convincing to me. Today, a USA Today writer laid out Elliott in this way, because you have a few, it was really good, a few ex-players in the media are sort of kind of rising up to talk about how Ezekiel Elliott is the exception.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is just like, he just took him apart. Like, you know, you want context. These guys who yell at analytics always say, put the numbers in context. We are. And you're just cherry picking plays to say how Ezekiel Elliott's a different case. Here's everything. Here's how, when Rod Smith is in the backfield for Dallas, the linebackers take the fake because they don't care whether it's Ezekiel Elliott or Rod Smith.
Right, they take the fake. Period.
We've done all this work.
Right.
You know, we've done all this work.
Right, it's been, I think, has it not been proven that you don't have to be, by whatever metric you would establish that you are running the ball effectively, that you don't need to be running the ball effectively for play action passing to have an impact on the defense.
That's right.
They still respect it. You fake a handoff, and whether you've been running for 2 yards or 6 yards, they go, oh, it might be a handoff. Like, it's natural.
It doesn't matter who the player is, overall. What matters is the formation that you're in. How are you going to line up against four wide receivers or something? That's what matters. So you can't even really use Ezekiel Elliott as an exempt. But anyway, as an exemption to that. Anyway, I was going to say, like, I think it's just completely made argument, and the whole thing is over. The running back, the argument's not even interesting anymore, even though people are having it. But what is interesting here is just what are they going to do? Like, there's no trade yet. Like, Frank Gore, let me ask you this question. So Frank Gore is signed for 1 year at $2 million, not much. And he's kind of like royalty in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Frank Gore is someone that everybody looks up to, it seems.
Yes, that's right.
Is there what are the odds that he doesn't make it out of camp?
Zero.
Okay, so
yeah,
McCoy is zero also, right?
Barring, like, he shows up and just cannot run anymore. Gore, yeah, I think you sign that guy. Furthermore, I think there's zero chance he doesn't make it out of camp. I also think that there is zero chance he ever takes a week sitting out when he's healthy.
Okay.
Like, he's Frank Gore. You put him on your team to let him do what he is known for doing, which is, well, there's a few things. There's running the ball effectively and tough and with toughness and character, and there's all of that spilling over into your room. Like, that's the idea. Frank Gore is to be respected, and you are not respecting him if you bring him onto your team and A, cut him in August, B, don't dress him in week six if he's healthy. Like, you're emasculating him, and you do not want to do that to Frank Gore. I think you bring Frank Gore, and it's a little bit like...
Nobody puts Frank Gore in a corner.
Right. You'll remember this thing...
Sorry, Joe. That's an old movie.
I'll reference what you told me one time privately, although we've discussed it publicly. Andrew Chuck and Gilmore. Like, Lindy once confided in you over drinks in Toronto that he made a mistake in bringing those guys here and not sort of handing it over to them. He minimized their roles, and that didn't work.
Yeah, as I remember that, I don't know if he would have called it a mistake. Maybe he did, and you remember the conversation that I relayed to you. But like, you really don't want to do that,
right?
Is what I remember.
Yeah, whether it was a mistake, it was a challenge.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to put leaders in diminished roles,
right?
But I don't know if that's like an axiom. I don't know if Sean McDermott would think that. I think Frank Gore is Mike Tolbert. Like, he's somebody that this is how we're going to conduct ourselves. Are they really thinking? Do they really think that Frank Gore makes the team better? Why did they sign Yeldon to catch the ball? Why did they draft Singletary to do something else?
For the future, I don't know.
Why is McCoy still here? Does he make the team better? We have the money. He'll say yes. We like his character.
Right, yeah. In that way, I think he would absolutely say he makes the team better.
In that way, yes. Intangibles.
Whether he runs it as effectively as Chris Ivory or not, which might be about what you should expect.
They do well if that happened.
Yeah. I think the other stuff is more the reason why you did it.
He's 36,
he
right?
He is culture, and he is character, and that's and he was far more effective last year running the football than Mike Tolbert was as a Bill. So you're still better than that. But, you know, symbolically, yes, he's that guy in the room that McDermott feels like he needs. Or wants. Like,
or wants.
Culture setter. Bar setter. This is how we do it. This is how you be a pro.
When does this team get to a point where they feel like they don't have to keep adding that? That they just are that? I don't know. We'll see what happens. Like, I don't know if any of this is necessarily right on Gore. But I think we agree. You said so. Is he actually inactive at any point?
No.
I mean, I think that would be interesting.
It would blow my mind. Honestly, maybe not. It really would blow my mind if he were inactive.
Is he expecting a workload? Is that why he's here? I mean, he's not coaching. They didn't bring him in like Rex brought Ed Reed in. He's not here to be a coach.
Right.
He's here to play, right? Is he expecting a workload?
I would think he is expecting a workload, and I would also expect that he has been told he will get a workload.
Okay.
Like, how much of one? I mean, I don't think they've told him you're the number one back or you're competing for the number one spot, but that you are going to play an important role on our team. 7 carries a week.
Huh.
I don't know.
What's Mike Clay? Still have Mike Clay up from yesterday?
Yeah, what is that? What does he have for workload on Gore?
7 carries a week.
I don't know.
I hope the Bills run the ball 10 times a week. How many plays are there? 50?
60,
55?
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, what do they need Frank Gore to run 7 plays?
Mike Clay has Frank Gore at 114 carries for 511 yards and 2 touchdowns.
That is 7.
Wow.
That'd be 112.
Mike Clay and
16 times 7 is, I think, 112.
Mind melding with Clay.
7 carries a week. You know, again, is everybody healthy all year? There might be games where he carries 20 times.
Sure.
Because other guys are hurt.
Or he's going really well, you know, whatever. Like, feed the hot hand, that sort of stuff.
Well, what I wanted to ask is, can you foresee McCoy plays this week, Gore plays next week, McCoy plays like goalies almost.
Right, yeah.
You foresee that?
No.
Ever? I mean, not even just right from the beginning of this season.
No.
Because we have not seen that before, right? We've not seen that before.
Right. And we don't have an 18-game schedule.
We do not.
Guys got to sit out and you got to pick guys to be inactive. So I think if they're healthy and nothing happens to the backfield, then I think something's going to have to give, and maybe Yeldon is the odd man out.
But Yeldon, not that you need a butt here, you know all
that's
this.
That's fine.
Yeldon is on a 2-year contract.
And he's the only one who does
the only one that catches
thing.
The ball.
Right, he's the guy that does the one thing the other guys. Although McCoy should be able to do that. He just hasn't, you know, they didn't do it a lot last year. The year before, what did he have, 50 catches? Which is, you know.
But he's old.
All right. They're still going to have to figure something out. Like, I'm going to keep circling back to, I feel if they're on the team, Gore and McCoy are active every week, and they are your 1 and 2 running backs. Maybe Gore is your 3rd and 1 goal line, whatever, right? Because he's big and mean.
Didn't score a touchdown last year.
But they're active on game day. And then what am I doing? I've got Singletary and I've got Yeldon. And how much do I value what Yeldon on a 2-year deal is supposed to give me? And I drafted Singletary in the 3rd round, and I've said repeatedly since the draft, I don't want a running back I drafted in the 3rd round standing around in a sweatsuit.
I don't want any player I've drafted
in
the 3rd round to be the plan.
What am I doing at the position? Like, I still think it's not quite the Sabres' right-handed blue line at this point, but there's one more body than they really need. If everybody's healthy and everybody is supposed to.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
To be in the plans, I think the most likely outcome is what I don't want, which is Singletary doesn't play.
And to circle back as we get to the break, San Francisco, like their thing might be durability. The Bills might not see durability as a problem with their group. San Francisco might. And so for them, it might be a different equation where they would split up games to preserve guys, or even maybe do the other thing, but I guess I doubt it too. Can't wait to see what that is. And how do they decide that? Do you think they know right now? I like this question. I've asked this question over and over. Do you think they know right now how they want that to go?
No.
Or are they going to use preseason games, or what are they going to use to decide what they want, what they're going to do there at running back?
I suspect I think I've been pretty consistent on this. The combination of moves tells me that they get into it, that they will be willing to move off of McCoy if they feel they have, if they feel they can do it and sustain whatever it is they have in mind as what their running game is going to be. That's how healthy is Gore and how quickly does Singletary take to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if Singletary looks like you just, wow, we got to get this guy on the field. Like, if he's that guy at training camp, we got to get this guy on the field. Then somebody goes.
You want to get into camp first.
Yeah, I think that's what'll happen. Yeah, a preseason game or two, and he plays, and you go like, wow, all this stuff he was doing in college, he's doing here.
That makes sense to me.
Pretty good.
That makes sense to me.
And then you bust a move on McCoy.
I wonder if they think they will have a number one running back if they were to trade. It wouldn't work in this order, but if they were to trade LeSean McCoy, this is the question they would ask. Do we have a number one if we do that? They would think probably, or else why is he on the team anymore, that McCoy would be above the other guys. But Singletary is the one who could change that. I agree with that. And McCoy is also dead cap money. Like, the time was to trade him. The move was to trade him last year, I think, but that didn't happen. And I think the verdict on that depends on how this season goes or what they get in a trade for him at some point in the future.
Right, right. There's not – they don't need the money. They don't need the cap room. There's not a lot of financial benefit to doing it, you know, other than you don't have to pay the guy. And I don't think that that really matters.
Shouldn't.
So they don't need to make a move, but they might like to if, again, the depth of the position, most pointedly Singletary, gives them a reason to make a move.
The Bills are running back, 803-0550. Lots of different stuff throughout the day. Bill Barnwell, Sal Capaccio, Brian Koziol. I've been cramming, and I've had fun doing it for the golf bet today. I'm up. And I can't wait to get to that. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, 803-0550. This is WGR.
I mean, you'd like to see him run less and throw more and throw at a higher percentage. And I think he's capable of doing that. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks go from 10 touchdowns to 12 interceptions in their first year when they're trying to figure everything out and they're trying to rebuild an offensive line. You know, they're not very good up front. Going 18 and 80 the next year. I think you could see 18 to 20 touchdowns from Josh this year. If he just throws it more, I think, you know, there's a new offensive line coach, a new way of doing things. Deion Dawkins is going into his third year. They've upgraded the talent, I think, in some spots. I can see Josh making that leap in the pass game.
That is Brian Baldinger on One Bills Live yesterday. We talked about this yesterday, and I heard Howard and Jeremy talking about it this morning. The number of touchdown passes, like thresholds, statistical thresholds for Josh Allen. And I think Jeremy might have made this exact point about that comment when he said 18, but is it good?
Right, 18's not – I don't think 18's good. It would be an improvement, but how much of an improvement? What did he have, 10 in 12 games? So, you know, he's going to play four more. And ideally, you're basing this on 16 games. So you're going to play four more games. All right, that's two more a game to get to 18. Two more in those four extra games. I mean, two a game is crazy good.
Two a game is eighth in the league, which is the top 25%.
Right.
18 is 23rd right. Last year. Case Keenum last year threw for 18 touchdown passes and 3,900 yards. Like, they couldn't – they were in a big hurry to replace him. Right. Every team is.
Right, right.
And Minnesota was one play away – or one game away from the Super Bowl. They couldn't wait to replace
right.
Case Keenum.
Man, that's a lot of yards. I mean, I
3,890.
You know, it's, you know, pretty good. It's good. I mean, all this stuff – it's hard. You have to be careful not to step in it when you're talking about what is a good year for benchmark yardage. Everything's just gone up and up and up as we've gone here. It used to be like, you know, 3,000 was good, then 4,000, and now like 4,000 is just, okay, 4,000, good. You're one of, what, a dozen guys maybe that threw that much?
Last year?
Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, so You're scratching at just being above the middle of the league.
It's exactly 12.
Okay.
Yeah, Drew Brees was 8 yards short.
Yeah.
And I bet it eats at him.
That he didn't make 4,000?
Couldn't I have? We won our division easily. Couldn't I have just found one more 8 yard play in there?
Especially if he's sitting on some streak of like 10 consecutive 4,000 yard seasons and it ended last year by 8 yards, that would suck for him. And I don't know that he's sitting on that. It's certainly possible that he is because he's been that good for that long.
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean,
well, listening to the guys talk about this morning, you know, it just – I struggle with this because there's just nothing anymore left to say and nothing that really is needed to put it in perspective or anything like that, the Bills and their passing game over the years. And further, it's not – to say the least, it's not all – the fault of the current people that, you know, it's not Sean McDermott has nothing to do with that EJ Manuel didn't throw for more yards or JP Lossman or Alex Van Pelt. I mean, needless to say. So it's just a string of seasons for a franchise that going back to Bledsoe or going back to Kelly just cannot figure it out. And you don't, and this is also obvious, you don't make this investment in a quarterback without some intention of changing that. Right. And that is a real curiosity about the Bills right now is to what extent do they want to let Josh Allen go? Maybe they think he's too young for that. Maybe they think it's still not a winning strategy because they'd rather, yeah. You know, it's cold here, I've been told. as it is in Kansas City. They play about the same number of cold weather games as Kansas City. Their guy threw 50.
Yeah.
Allen will do well to throw 50 for his career. What do you think of that statement?
50 what?
Touchdowns.
For his career?
Do you think he'll blow past that? He'll be the quarterback this year. He'll probably at least, worst case scenario, probably not the very worst, almost the worst case scenario would be that he starts next year.
Right.
And then if it goes well, he'll pass 50 touchdown passes.
Right, sure.
If it doesn't,
he might not get there. How many did Manuel throw? I mean, Manuel played like 14 games, right? Isn't that the final number?
Then a couple
10 and then later 4 on. And then a couple, right, Cincinnati would have thrown a few, and then that Jacksonville game in London.
I don't know, 22.
Yeah,
as a guess.
Right. It's not higher than 25.
It's 20.
All right.
In Buffalo or his whole career?
That's his career.
He threw 20 touchdown passes for his career.
He only threw one in Oakland, so 19 with the Bills.
All right.
19.
Right. And that was, that still is, and this is not at all an invitation for people to say he never got a chance again, because that was very prevalent here at the end for him. Like, you give him a chance, he needs more of a chance. But that was a very truncated appearance for a first-round quarterback. He played 10 games, 4 games, done. That's quick. And, you know, that was Marone, and they brought in Kyle Orton, and they just did it, and, you know, they were better for it. And as it turns out to me, Manuel, I don't think was mishandled so egregiously that he couldn't have played his way out of that or something. He just never did. He just wasn't that good. So if you're not that good, yeah, you're not going to get to 50. But Allen will have this year, he's got 10 now. A good year is 25. Like I would sign for 25 touchdowns.
18, which is the analyst's point there, is debatable with just how good it is.
I would sign for 25. And I think that would be my threshold. Like I don't 18 is not going to get it done for me if he plays all 16 games. Even though it's progress.
And what was Trubisky's number? Was 24, 25?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
50 touchdowns for a career would rank you where on the Bills' all-time list?
Right.
Fourth? I mean.
So if he gets to 25 this year, he's got the 10, he's at 35, he starts next year. And I think if he gets to 25 touchdowns this year, we're feeling like it's on track here. Whatever the record is.
Oh, yeah.
But it's probably this is good. Then I think he's got a real look at it, because he's only 15 away going into next year, and he's the guy.
How many touchdown passes did Tyrod Taylor throw for in, what, 3 seasons?
51.
51. Almost one, like a little over one a game. Where does that rank?
That is 6th.
So 6 quarterbacks have thrown for 50?
Yep.
Career. That's Mahomes in one season.
Right.
Lossman's underneath that at 33. Trent, 25. So, yeah. Like, guys that got a games. Few years didn't even really come close.
Right. All those Trent Edwards games, it was 25 touchdown passes.
Yep.
Well, this is also a function of your team, and that's really where my head is for this. It's not so much that Allen couldn't do it. On a bad team, if your point was to try to throw for 30 touchdown passes, you can get there. Any team's guy can get there if that's what you're about. But that's not going to be what you're about. No, nobody's about that. You're about winning. And so how do they see themselves winning? And that'll be a real curiosity, is how much do they think they need him to put stats up, you know, to give them real numbers in order to win games.
That circles you back to Trubisky again, and it's a point you made in your piece yesterday at the website, and we've talked about it numerous times. Like, the Bears were, at least recently we've talked about it numerous times, the Bears had this Khalil Mack, they had this incredible defense, so they sort of didn't really need that much. So Trubisky's progress maybe was, you know, throttled to an extent in-house. Like, it was, you know, they put a carburetor on it and just said, okay, well, we only need this much, because there's no reason for us to just throw it all over the place. Our defense isn't giving anything up, and we can play small ball to an extent.
And he still got to 24 in 14 games in that context.
Yep. So I'm very much in a place where I don't think I'm going to want to respect much at all any excuses that get made for Allen. Like, and I'm not coming at it from a place where I hated the pick or I thought it was a joke or I threatened to quit like Ryan or anything. Like, I was very objective and fair. Like, okay, they drafted a guy. We'll see. Nobody knows any of these guys. Fine, let's go. So I feel like I'm honestly a clean slate on him. And you draft a guy like that a year or two, and all the excuses are gone. He should perform. That's it. He should look like an NFL starting quarterback this year. It should happen. And if it doesn't, I'm going to be ready to tell you that maybe you chose the wrong guy. Like, it should work. And if it doesn't, then this whole thing starts to sort of veer a little bit. Like, it's, you know, all the culture and the process and the building a championship team and all the stuff, consistent contender, and all that, all just starts to sound like a bunch of stuff.
They'll have to have him be that for any of it to happen.
Yes.
Because are they going to pivot away from him before somebody else is brought in?
And I
don't know.
And I really think that I don't think it is unfair. I don't think it is rushing or rash or anything that's synonymous with that to expect that this year. That is what the model in the league has looked like. The last few drafts, those guys, they get somewhere, and they get somewhere by year two. And that's what okay, you did it. You got your guy. You got all your other guys. You got it all cleaned up. Let's go.
Well, of course, it's a team effort, and they have to that's not exactly the right way to put it. When you're looking at the stats, the totals, the context is important. What is the team's record? What is the overall condition of things? And they might be a good team without him putting up a lot of stats because the defense is amazing or because the running game, you know, like he did run for 8 touchdowns himself last year. So that will always, it's obvious. It's always right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like as big of a question for me as like what Allen can do is what the Bills are going to ask of him. They've brought in wide receivers and I don't know. I still don't expect them to be any kind of a guns blazing team on offense. And so if you're not, the whole idea, and this has always been for me from day one, the whole idea of drafting a quarterback and setting up for it, everything like that, is questionable because you might not even really want your quarterback to throw the ball relatively that often.
Right. I guess I wouldn't say I'm expecting them to be guns blazing or something. Like they're not gonna throw it 60% of the time or anything. I don't think. But I do take some, like, I'm encouraged by what evolved over the course of last year and how the offense schematically looked different after Allen missed those games in the second third of the season or whatever that was. He missed games. He came back, and here's Isaiah McKenzie, and here's Robert Foster, and here's 4 and 5 guys split out, and Allen running and all that. That tells me that they were trying to, maybe the Brian Daboll specifically, the whole staff went to school on what Allen does well and what he doesn't do well, and they modified their approach. And now we've had an entire offseason, and they've been augmented. I don't have Isaiah McKenzie as my slot receiver. I've got Cole Beasley as my slot receiver, and I've got John Brown, and I still have Foster, and I've done all this stuff, and I'm not looking at like Mouse Davis and the run and shoot here out of Sean McDermott, but I'm leaving open the possibility that they're a little more open than you might be expecting.
Well, I am too. I mean, I'm open to the possibility. We'll see. You mentioned Orton. I was thinking about a lot of this morning listening to the show. Like Orton, that was a good team. You know, that really. There really are numbers when you look at him. He did have games, you know. He had real games. And then he quit as soon as it was over for whatever reason. He didn't resurface somewhere else, at least. But that actually worked. And right from the beginning of Marone and Nate Hackett, I thought, this is actually what it's supposed to sound like. They are going to play fast. They're going to run a lot of plays. And we'll see what Manuel can do. But this was promising. And Marone ended up just never, not never, but really struggling to make sense in his days as Bill's coach, and he was kind of combative, whatever. That doesn't matter. Combative isn't necessarily bad. But I liked what it sounded like with those guys. And then it was over. And then it was Rex Ryan, and now it's Sean McDermott. And never have either of those guys sounded like that to me. Right. Like, they've never sounded about play fast. And so, like, when Marone quit, I don't remember being too upset about that. The ownership change and everything were special circumstances. And so I'm not really a fan of his, but that team, they had me going in 2013 when he was hired. They had me going. And I just hope that there's some of that in these guys. It sounds funny to say, right? Some of Marone in these guys. Like, I don't really want to say that. Right. But just like up tempo. And I'm excited about the Arizona Cardinals. So just tell you that. I think that could be really wild. It doesn't have to succeed.
Right.
But I feel like that's the future. So I want that a little bit. Bill Barnwell coming up. I think Arizona would be a fun team to ask him about. ESPN writer. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Now, we have already, I believe, in this first hour of the show, established that it is indeed Wednesday because Joe played the Hump Day Open. One other way to know that it's Wednesday is the return of Hoagie Hump Day. Tweet the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day to at WGR550 for your chance to win a $25 gift certificate to Jim's Stakeout.
We have Bill Barnwell coming on. I've been a fan of his a long time, never spoken with him. He's been on with you. I'm looking back at his tweets, and he has he's kind of a thought-provoking guy, I think. He had a tweet about trying to find the biggest outlier season in modern sports history, any player. And maybe somebody suggested to him, or he thought of Jonathan Chichu.
Okay, I did see him tweet about that. Yeah,
and I was in a conversation an hour ago, and the name Jonathan Chichu came up.
Seriously?
Yeah. There are a couple of Sabre Twitter guys, Chad and Kevin, who are real smart about them, and I've never met them, but I thought about our golf bet today. I'm like, you know what? I want to ask these two guys what they think about betting strategy in this majors bet that we have with the way the thing is set up now. Mm-hmm. See if they had any opinion on
tears.
That. Tears. And I did talk to them both for a while about it and got some feedback. And I'm happy to say agreed with my original expectations.
You are really going deep.
And we ended up, Kevin and I ended up talking about, he brought up like the goal scoring leaders and like, how many people would you expect going into a season to have a chance to lead the NHL in scoring for a year? There aren't that many. And I was trying to figure out how that might compare with the British Open. How many guys could actually win the British Open? Mm-hmm. It's more than you would think have a chance to win the goal title.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
But then he mentioned Chichu as somebody that would never have been expected to do it.
And he had 56 one year to lead the league? Is that the number?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Is that 05-06?
I don't remember the year, but I feel like that's the goal total I've got in my head. Joe's nodding at that year, so yeah.
I think it was right out of the canceled season, which is going to be tougher to predict than other years.
I also think that tweet about trying to find the greatest outlier season, somebody that I follow, I mean, I follow Barnwell anyway, but I think somebody that I follow chimed in with Spiller from 2012. Is that the year he had the 6 yards per carry average? It was just sort of out of nowhere, like, wow, look at this guy, Jim Brown. And then that was it.
Kind of. Bill Barnwell next on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.